Hello, my name is Sean Hancock and I'm here to read the first chapter of my debut novel, Trick. It's a coming-of-age crime story about a 15-year-old called Richard Trick growing up in a dead-end Devon town in the early 1990s. When the story starts, it starts with Trick and his friends staking out a supermarket that they're about to rob. Only thing is Trick is getting cold feet. So on the one hand, he knows he could ruin his life by committing this crime, but on the other, he desperately doesn't want to let down his friends. And also, being a 15-year-old, he's in love with a girl in his year at school called Kelly Jenkins. He's been infatuated with Kelly since he was 7 years old, but he's never had the courage to tell her. And then as the story unfolds, he learns that Kelly is planning on leaving the town that they've grown up in, which means if he doesn't tell her how he feels now, he risks losing her forever. Now, before I go on to read the first chapter, I just want to let you know that Trick is available on Amazon for free for 5 days only for Kindle users. So if you have a Kindle, why not add one more book to your library? Okay, here goes. Okay, chapter one of Trick. It's 5:30 a.m. and I'm lying face down in the woods on the outskirts of town with my five friends. Even though it's late June and the sun rose half an hour ago, we're dressed in black and have balaclavas rolled up on our foreheads. We thought it would be darker. It's something we probably should have checked. Three of us have air rifles, and any minute now we're going to commit armed robbery, only it won't be rabbits we're holding up. I'm 15 years old and wondering how the fuck I got myself into this, which is stupid because I know exactly how. It was my idea. I just never thought we'd go through with it. So we're lined up like commandos, staring at Gillard's, the smaller of two supermarkets in Hitterton, aka Shitterton, population 4,248. I only know that because my stepdad works for the local paper and likes to talk about whatever it is he's writing at the time. Boring. Shitterton is in West Devon, and it really is shit. A medium-sized country town full of people who've never been anywhere their whole lives and think that's a good thing. It's got a high street with, I don't know, maybe 15 shit shops on it, and a clock tower that looks like it was built 1,000 years ago. There's a small cinema and an indoor shopping arcade as well, but that's about it. Also, because Shitterton's at the bottom of a deep valley, you can't help but feel trapped. Not as trapped as jail, though, or youth offenders, or wherever it is they send 15-year-olds who hold up supermarkets. Thing is, I finished my GCSE exams on Thursday, and the guys don't know this, mind, I studied pretty hard for them. If I get 5 C's or above, I can get out of here, go somewhere bigger, Exeter maybe, and do my A-levels. That's why I want to stand and walk away from this. Problem is, I can't. Gavin, lying in the middle of us chewing a matchstick, pulls the binoculars from his eyes, looks over at me on the far left and says, in his gravelly voice, "Trick, it's gone 5:30, where's Kev to?" My name is Richard Trick, but nobody uses my first name. Kev is the shop's manager and also the son of Jeff Gillard, who owns it. "He's always late, mate," I say, trying to sound chilled, even though I'm shitting myself. "He'll be here in a sec, defo." I turn to face the supermarket again, which is below us, roughly 250 yards away on the edge of the car park that backs onto Collybell Woods. I can feel Gav looking at me and figure he's going to say something else, but he doesn't. After a few seconds, he straightens his head and raises the binoculars to his eyes. I never thought a stakeout would be like bird watching, but then again, I've never done either, so maybe it isn't. Gav, who was in and out of care as a kid, is the leader of our group. It's not official or anything, he just is, probably because he's the hardest and gets in the most trouble. He also looks like a proper man who chops trees down for a living, even though he's just turned 18. People in town complain we're a gang, but I'm not sure we qualify. To be honest, we've never discussed it. All I know is we don't have a special handshake or a uniform of any description. We do all like the same music though, heavy metal, so maybe that's got something to do with it. Archie, who's on my right and my best mate, points at West Street beyond the supermarket and says, "That's Kev's Jeep coming our way, I reckon." Gav, who's still got his binoculars fixed on Gillard's, as if he's worried it's going to sprout legs and run away, looks up and says, "Where?" before spotting the vehicle and aiming his binoculars at it. I had no idea his eyesight was so bad. Kev pulls up in one of the disabled spaces, so his red Vitara's facing the front entrance, which is on the left side of the building from where we are. Everyone apart from Gav starts moving around and talking. Then Gav tells us to shut up and chill out, which we do, apart from Feisty, Jay Feist, who doesn't like being told to shut up and is very rarely chilled out. He's got a bad temper, and Archie and I reckon he doesn't like the fact Gav gets to call the shots all the time. Sometimes when we're pissed and on speed, the two of them have arguments and square up, but Feisty always backs down in the end. Maybe one day he won't, but that day isn't today. We all watch Kev, who's short and stocky, with long brown hair tied in a ponytail, get out of his Jeep. We gasp as one when a girl appears from the passenger side. "Who the fuck's that?" Gav says, looking at me. "Claire," I reply. Gav should know, he's fucked her and reckons she's well dirty. I know her because she's in my year at school, or was anyway. "What's she doing with Kev? Thought you said he opens on his own." "That's because he does usually," I say. "Maybe he wants to show her the money, impress her like." Gav looks away from me to Kev and Claire again. Nobody speaks. After they've gone inside, Gav says, "Fuck it, nothing changes." Then he looks at Paul, who's on the far right, and adds, "Paul, go back to the car and get her started. Open the doors, then get him back and wait. Don't go for a wander or a piss mind. Just wait." Paul nods, real serious-like, showing he's got it covered. Gav's the only one of us with a driving licence, and his mum lets him use her car sometimes, a white Volkswagen Polo. Right now, it's parked 100 yards behind us on the dirt road that runs through the woods. Once we've got the money, the plan is to pile in the car and head for Belden Reservoir, where all our parents think we're fishing. We went out there yesterday and set up a couple of tents and rods and stayed over so we'd have an alibi. I caught a 3-pound rainbow trout, a beauty, that we cooked up on one of those mini tinfoil barbecue things. We were stoned and it tasted amazing. While Paul's still nodding away, Gav says, "What are you waiting for, a fucking parade?" That's his favourite expression. Paul, who's chubby and ginger, blushes and stands. "What are you doing?" Gav says, getting angry now. "Keep low." "Sorry, Mush," Paul says, bending his back. "Good luck, yeah?" Then he walks away, looking like an old man, trips on something and falls over, making loads of noise. A few of us snigger. Gav looks like he wants to kill him, but just shakes his head. Paul gets up, whispers more apologies, and then disappears. So far, nothing has gone right, and I'm trying to work out how I can make this stop. "Maybe we should wait till next week," I say. "Claire's in there. Maybe Kev's doing things different now. Maybe more people are..." Gav cuts me off, saying, "Next week? Fuck that. We're here now and we ain't bottling it. Anyway, I ain't getting up this early again. No way." The rest of the group murmur their approval, and I can't say anything else. If I do, Gav will call me gay. I'm the only virgin left, although I reckon Paul was lying about losing his virginity to his nanny and her twin sister when he was 9 years old. Everyone will laugh and will do it anyway, so what's the point? With nothing left to discuss, Gav, binoculars hanging from neck, grabs his air rifle and stands. Next, he brushes the leaves from his clothes and takes a few steps forward. The rest of us don't move. Gav turns around, leans the barrel of the gun against his right shoulder, rolls his balaclava over his face with his left hand and says, "What are you waiting for? A fucking parade?" That's the end of chapter one. Hope you enjoyed it. The book is available on Amazon now for free for 5 days only for anyone who owns a Kindle. Thanks very much.